Welcome to the Nintendo Show, episode 51. I'm your co-host, Devin Moon, and with me, as always, making the magic happen behind the scenes, Trevor Payne. Trev, hey, what's how up? You doing, man?
What's up, everybody? Oh, boy. It's Sunday. I'm happy to be here, ready to record. This is good times, dude.
Back on the Nintendo Show. We're all smooth. We've got our year jitters out. Oh, look at us. We're ready to go. Film fly. Trev, this week, we got Fire Emblem 30th Collection came out, or is coming out. We also are going to do some Console Wars, the ninth generation, talking about that Xbox and PlayStation, talk about the games we've been playing, and go through your questions about Mario Kart Live, Home Circuit, and Nintendo so far this year, how we feel like they've been doing. And as usual, if you want to join the show right now, join in right here on Twitch. You can find us also on Facebook or right on our website at nintendoshow.com, where you can send in your comments, questions, and concerns, and we will implement them into the show. Trev, are you ready to enter the mysterious, magical world we like to call Mr. Miyamoto's Magical News?
Woohoo!
That's what I was looking for. There's my Mario call out right there. Trev, we got one item of news this week. Fire Emblem, Shadow Dragon, and Blades of Light, the very first Fire Emblem game, will be coming to the West for the very first time on December 4th. The game will be a limited time exclusive, similar to Super Mario 3D All-Stars. The game will cost $6 digitally and $50 for a collector's copy of the game, which includes a retro NES packaging, including the protective sleeve, that little plastic sleeve, a 222-page art book, that's a big boy, retro map, mini Nintendo Power, and an NES-style instruction manual. The game will also be localized for the first time with English translations. Trev, your thoughts on this game coming in to our wonderful side of the United States and the Europe? How you feeling, man? About this game specifically.
I'm excited. Like, I mean, like, bringing more old stuff that never showed up here. I mean, that's cool. That's pretty neat. This is what I want them to do with Mother 3 or, you know, whatever. But yeah, maybe, exactly. Maybe this will come. But this does look really cool. Like, I'm down. I don't know how. So I never played some of these, like, really old Fire Emblem games. So I don't really know if they're great or not. I played a lot on the 3DS and forward. So, like, Awakening was, like, the one I got into. So, I don't know. Have you dipped into any of these or dabbled or played or ROMed or anything with these bad boys?
Yeah, no. That's a no for me. I have never dipped in these in my life. But
the good old dip.
All things said, it looks cool. Like the retro, because this is on the NES, I kind of like the look of this game.
Totally.
It looks fun. Looks that classic turn-based RPG kind of fun 8-book style. But I don't think I'm like, dude, I'm not jazzed for it. Like, I loved Fire Emblem Awakening. Three Houses, dug that. But I'm not one of those guys that are so into the retro games that I'm going back. You know, I'm not fighting for this old girl. I am excited. However, there are some games that I do like to go back to. This type of game, not so much. But like you said, Trev, Mother 3 would be a game that I would like to go back to. That's a game that we've all been, like, you know, grasping at, hoping for, totally, asking for. But no, instead of, you know, what you guys want, an English translation of Mother 3, you get an English translation of Fire Emblem 30th Anniversary here. The thing is, I feel like they did it just because Fire Emblem is so popular. So that's probably why they did that over Mother 3. Earthbound's not a popular series, hasn't been a popular series, sadly. I think it's worth it. I think it's a great game and should be, you know, able to fight with the big dogs. But I don't know. For me, the game looks, it looks like what you would expect. I like the art style. I like all that stuff. But the collecting edition right here, Trev.
Oh, it looks, what do you think of
that,
cool. Dude?
That's pretty cool.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, looking at this stuff gets me excited. Like, the game itself, I don't know. Like, it'll come out. Honestly, I'll probably play it because I really have a fondness for, like, the later games. So I do want to go back and experience, like, the first one ever made. That sounds kind of cool. But more than anything, this collection looks so neat. That replica cart, like, looks so cool, man. It's all shiny. Even has a little protective sleeve. That's something I want to put up on my shelf. So I obviously, I'm not going to pay that much money for this. I'm going to probably buy the digital version of the game, give it a go, because it is fun to go back to some of those games. And with this, seems like they did some work to it too, where there's like save states or additional stuff done to the game. Is that correct? Like, I saw them, like, when they're in the menus, there's something about like bookmarks and different stuff like that. Did you see that?
Yeah, it could be. From the news that I saw, it didn't mention any of that, but it could be that they actually did that. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, like do a little extra work, though, but I'm curious.
This looks awesome. Like, I love the collector's edition. I think it looks cool. I'm not going to spend $50 on it, but someone will, and it's going to be a huge collector's item. People are going to go crazy for this thing. The problem is that I see is that this is one of those weird Mario 3D All-Star situations, Trev. This is one of those we ain't coming for the whole experience. We're going halfway through the ride. You're going to drop me off at Granny's house. This ain't happened, Big Bad Wolf. You know what I'm saying? Right here, Trev, we're going to leave this in March, man. This sweet baby girl is going to be gone by March, just like Mario 3D All-Stars.
Strange, wait, is this really
weird? It is.
Dude, it's a time
another one. It's a time exclusive. Now, I'm going to put this out in the ether. Listen, I love Nintendo. I'm not trying to put out some hate, but there's something weird going on here. What is going on with this exclusive? What is going on here? Because I am seeing a game that came out on the Nintendo Online eShop for Japan coming to the West, which makes me think that this game was originally going to go to Nintendo Online for the American audience in the West, or the European audience in the West, fully translated in English. That was going to be their thing. Yeah, this is awesome. This is what we're going to give to you. However, they might have got a little greedy here and thought, how about instead we give them the opportunity to have this early for $7, and they get to pay it. And when March hits, this may be coming onto Nintendo's online service. That's what worries me, just like it worries me with Mario 3D All-Stars, that also will be chunked out, split up, and put into a different way of buying it, Dev, to get more money. Dude, I'm just saying.
That makes me sad to think about, though, like, because like that is a possibility where they are like, hey, we could squeeze an extra $7, $8, whatever bucks out of a bunch of people, and then and then we'll give it to you free. We'll give it to everybody else free just because we're so generous. We're going to give it to you in the online service. That's totally a possibility, and that makes me kind of sad, and I think you might be onto something there, dude.
Just weird, man. It's like so weird that they keep doing this. I cannot think why this game has to be an exclusive. Why is this game an exclusive? Sure. That's the only thing I can think of, is that they're trying to get more money out of something that people, they feel like is a good, like, hey, we're translating it for you. You get to pay us some way. You know, you need to pay us some way for this translation. It's just a little weird. It's a little strange again. And I do not get Nintendo's idea with the exclusives.
Yeah.
It's like, so dumb.
It out, right? Like, release the game and release it. Yeah. Let it be out and about and doing its thing. That does seem a little weird. I mean, we're gonna have to see like kind of what their game plan is, what their strategy, what the plan is with like all these weird exclusive things they have going on, because it really is strange. It's kind of funky because it's like, no, just release a game and it's digital. It's not like you have to do anything special. Like, it's just on your servers and people can continue to pay you money to buy that game. So I don't really know what the reasoning behind it.
Go out there and get your copies, even your digital copies. The digital copy also will be taken out, just like Mario. So
That's yeah, we know that they have a shelf life, Devin. They like bananas. They start to turn brown, degrade, just like digital games when they're on their servers. I mean, give it a couple of weeks and they're already going all bad and moldy. You got to make banana bread out of those bad boys real quick.
Yeah, those Nintendo carts, the ones that they built now, they are flavorful. You can taste them, and they are actually food. So they do have a shelf life.
Yes.
I have Luigi's Mansion back here, and it's rotting in my Nintendo Switch as I talk right now to you. It is rotting. It stinks. It's horrible. I have to throw it out soon. Oh, 1 year shelf life. Watch out on some of these games. Yeah, dude, so silly. Whatever, Nintendo. Do your thing. Do your thing, you crazy, crazy cats. Trev, what you been playing, man? What you up to? What have you been up to the last couple weeks?
Some Pokemon Sword and Shield. The Crown Tundra. I don't know. Whatever.
That's great.
Anyways, I've been enjoying me some diving back into Pokemon, dude. Like, I love me Pokemon. And the cool thing that there is actual DLC. Like, it is so cool and refreshing to, like, have a game that I really enjoyed, got bored of because, you know, you only can play so much. But then to have these, like, little things added to it, these little things called DLC, and go back and enjoy them. Like, it's cool to have that future, like, that Nintendo has been so far behind on for the longest time, but it's so cool to see them adding to a game and bringing some life back to it. So my boys and I, so I have twin little boys that are 9 years old. They're super into it. They dove in. We've all finished the DLC over the weekend. Came out Thursday night. So it was supposed to launch on Thursday, but the actual patch and update didn't actually hit till, I think it was like 8 p.m. Mountain Time, our time. So we're all excited all day long. And then it's like, it's not here. So we had to wait till the evening. Finally downloaded. We really dove into it on Friday and then over the weekend. So a couple things with this, Dev, like this game, you know, it's kind of a bummer how short the story stuff that they actually added to this was, because I was able to really crank through it within a couple hours, just like the Isle of Armor, the Crown Tundra is about the same as far as length, and the story, pretty disappointing. Like, there really wasn't much story there. Like, it was, if you want to even call it a story, it was kind of like this, like, it was kind of lame. You encounter this one new dude, Peony, I think his name is, and he's like out on a trip with his daughter, and she's runs into this raid dungeon, whatever thing. I don't know. The story is really stupid, but the gameplay part was really cool. So they've implemented a new thing. Basically, is like this, you go into this dungeon, this den, and inside the den, there's waves of Pokemon, and you get to, as a group, choose a path. And at the very end is a legendary Pokemon that you can battle, and if you beat, you have the chance to catch it, which is really cool. So how it works, and something I really like about it, is when you go into this den, you can matchmake with people locally, computer players, or people online. And so it throws you into this group, and you don't bring your own Pokemon into the den itself. So it actually gives you a random, I guess, pick of Pokemon to choose from. So you, as a team, pick out your Pokemon, and you have just one going in. And as you defeat the next one in the set, you can either choose to take on that one as your Pokemon or continue with the one that you went in with. So it is kind of cool because there are Pokemon that I've battled with that I never would have thought to use ever. Like something real lame, like a relic, whatever this thing is that we're seeing on the screen. You know, playing with those, and it's cool to kind of be like, oh, cool, these are their abilities, this is neat. But the nice thing is, too, is that all the legendaries from all the prior games, in the mainline games, are in this actual expansion, which is cool. So you have the potential to really capture some great Pokemon. You have some really cool options there. But basically, you go into this dungeon, you have a path. You have like a fork in the path, and you have to choose one way or the other. And they'll tell you what type of Pokemon it is. It doesn't tell you exactly who it is, but you guys vote as a team, go battle that guy, and basically work your way to that legendary. So I've been able to get almost every legendary, which has been super cool. So to kind of pad out my my roster of Pokemon. Now, each one of these things take about 15-20 minutes to get through. So there is some content there if you just want to grind out some, you know, getting some legendaries or whatnot. It's not too bad. But a lot of the time I was watching TV while I was doing it because you don't have to be super active. You know, you're only picking an attack every 2 minutes, it seems like. So that's pretty cool. The other part of it, too, is like, you know, you do have a different area of the map that you get to explore. It's a snow area, which is kind of cool. Doesn't seem super big. It's kind of, I don't know, small in comparison, it feels like. And the variety of it isn't that much. Is like, you have a little grassy area, you have a little water area, and then a snowy area. And kind of was a little boring to me, to be honest. You know, and then the other thing too, the last part of it too, is that you have this whole stadium battle system where you get to pair up with one of the gym leaders and whatnot. And I haven't dove into that very far. I just barely started into that part of it. But overall, like, if I were to rate this thing, like, I think it's fun. I would probably give it like a 6 or a 7. I wouldn't say it's great or anything, but it is enjoyable to be able to go in, do something with this game that I haven't played for a long time, and catch some new legendaries. So,
yeah. Well, it seems like, it seems kind of, so would you say it's worse than the first DLC, or?
No, honestly, like, I think this one I've had more fun with, surprisingly. Like, I was really hot on the last one, and I think overall, as I look at the big picture of both of these DLCs, that there's just not much story or much there in either one of these, and I think I was hoping that this would have more, so I kind of let the other one have a pass, because I'm like, hey, there's another one coming, it seems more story-driven, but the fact that they're adding some new stuff to this game is great, but I don't know, I would say they're both a little on the disappointing side. So my boys, they wanted to share their thoughts on this expansion. So I asked them a couple questions, and I took some notes. So I got some notes here. Aiden and Jackson are their names. Asked them, hey, what are their favorite thing about this expansion? Aiden said that he loves that they added all the legendaries back. Jackson said that he loved that they made Galarian variants of the legendary birds. And I got to admit, they are really cool. And the way that you have to find them is really cool, too. It's not just like this. They're always sitting in one spot. You actually have to go out and find them. And it was kind of a challenge to find them. And once you find them, you got to chase after them and try to catch them. It's pretty cool. I asked some dislikes. Cool. Aiden said that he disliked there's some, in order to get some of the legendaries, you have to go do through these weird riddles. He hated that. So he wasn't a big fan of riddles. So obviously he doesn't like those. Jackson said he doesn't like the new legendary that they added for this one, Calyrex. He's like that weird little bunny Pokemon with like the huge bulbous head. Have you seen that picture? Like, he's like green. I don't know if we have an image of him, but he's like, he's super lame. So he's like, I really dislike that. I asked them both if they were to score this. Aiden said he'd give it a 7. Jackson said an 8. I also asked them which expansion they liked more, and they both said Crown Tundra.
Okay.
So they both really like this one, and I think the main thing was going in and being able to capture all those old legendaries that weren't available in the game. So overall, you know, when I asked them, hey, would you have preferred that they did this DLC stuff or focus their development efforts into a new game? And they both said a new game. Like, they're like, this was really cool. But, you know, I think they would have preferred, and myself, like, hey, maybe take that time and put it into a new game. I bet you they already have a team working on it, so maybe this is a smaller team that's maybe developing this, but they said that, this DLC was cool, but I would rather have a brand new game. So it's kind of cool, you know, hearing their thoughts and, you know, seeing from the eyes of a 9-year-old.
Yeah, that's awesome to like have that in there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Overall, do you think this is a better idea than before? Like, the DLC is better than like a completely new game with some expansion stuff in it. You think that's better overall?
Yeah, then the plus version of the game, or like the ultra version, or whatever you want to call it. I do think this is cool that they can just add to it, because then I don't have to play through the whole thing again and to experience the new stuff. It is nice to be able to like put it away to the side, and then when the DLC comes out, jump in, enjoy it, and then shut it down, not have to replay the whole game again, because I don't know if I would want to do that.
Yeah, for me, man, I need Pokemon to change a little bit more with the times. That's for me. I just feel like I'd be totally down if this series was just a little more in 2020 games a little bit.
I think it's kind of grated on me a little bit, you know, the more that I've played both of these DLCs, that I do want Pokemon to evolve. I really think that, like, there's such a great foundation, and they've had the same gameplay for 20 whatever years. Like, it is incredible, but it would be nice if maybe they try something a little bit more modern, bring it up to, you know, 2020 standards, which means that there should be like tornadoes and fires and death and you gotta add the 2020 factor.
A little bit of viruses in there should be fine. Exactly. A laser beam coming down. Man, I like hearing about it. I like see games like Final Fantasy VII Remake, you know, and Resident Evil Remake, and I see those games, and they took something like an old battle system, which, you know, Final Fantasy VII was using a, you know, old battle system like Pokemon here, they were like, you know, we're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to have those ideas, but we're going to switch it up a little bit. And I think Pokemon could use a little switch up, just in the world they build, and like, just everything needs just a little more freshness. It needs to be a little more modern. So I hope they really go for it on the next one. I doubt it will be much, but we'll see. They're a slow moving company. They're kind of they like to be in that indie kind of slow, small team thing. So that's their deal. They'll do their thing.
But I mean, that being said, I'm still going to go back and play it. I'm probably going to play it for the rest of the week until I get every Pokemon that I could potentially catch in this bad boy, and then shut it down. Move all those Pokemon to my cloud save, my Pokemon home, so that way I'm ready for whatever comes next. So, what have you been playing, Dev?
Dude, I've been picking up my VR. It's been sitting here collecting dust, and I thought to myself, I need to play this Oculus Quest that I got for my birthday or something. So I got Robo Recall. I recently purchased that. It's one of those games that people were, you know, chatting up. I'm always looking at those top 25s.
Oh, yeah.
Was on there. And so, this is a really good time. It's just, it's very arcadey. It reminds me of a Dreamcast game. I love Dreamcast because there's a lot of, like, good arcade shooters where you're, like, you know, the old school ones where you're, like, hiding behind a car and, like, you know, the camera moved for you and you did all that stuff. It just kind of gives me that feeling of a Dreamcast
game. Time Crisis, you know, kind of style.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's not visually stunning. It's not whatever. I mean, it's a Quest game, whatever. But like, it's enjoyable. The game mechanics are really fun. You're fighting these hordes of robots in an arcade style. You know, shooting up in the air gives you more points, that kind of stuff. So you got points flying all. So it's one of those fun old school arcade games. What I like about this, comparing it to like a recent game that I played, Half-Life Alyx, it's Half-Life Alyx, very immersive, probably more immersive than this game, but you can pull off limbs. You can start whacking people with that. I wish that kind of was a little more Half-Life Alyx, where you could actually punch characters or hit them with your hands. I like that kind of motion that they have going on there, which is really cool. So it's a fun little game. $25, you know, if you haven't got it on your Quest yet, I think it's worth picking up. Another one that I picked up was Red Matter. This is like a puzzle game. I picked this one because I love me a little bit of nerdy space, getting out there in the the other outdoors. I can't do it here, so I'll do it in this outer space land. You're basically exploring this red Mars planet. There's a lot of fun puzzles and stuff like that. So if you're into puzzle games, I like puzzle games. I enjoy that kind of stuff. So there's a little bit of a mystery. What's going on in this station? There's like a Cold War kind of vibe, but in the future. I think it's worth the buy. It's not, some of these games, what I'm noticing about VR, if this was like just a video game by itself, probably wouldn't be like the coolest game ever. But sure. Since it's in VR, it's really cool. Like, VR gets away with some stuff that you know, if this was a PlayStation game, I'd probably give it like a 6. But since it's in VR, it's like an 8. So, you know,
yeah, you kind of let it slide because it's like, well, yeah. I mean, like, because you are more involved with it. I mean, like, it does make sense. Like, you are more active in almost everything that you do. I agree. Like, it does make a big difference.
Yeah, I think that the experience is what pushes it up like 2 points, which is weird, but it is. Like, as a game, whatever. But, you know, as an experience and a game, you're like, yeah, this is pretty cool. So, Red Matter. And I'm diving back into Luigi's Mansion 3. It's been a while. I got 12 hours in. So I'm, like, really on, like, the last three levels, maybe the last two levels. I felt this is a good time. Halloween, you know, it's my time. This is my season. This is my month. I need a little bit of spookiness. And I thought this would be some fun spookiness. So getting back, diving into that. Luigi's Mansion, it's a great game. We talked about it before. I think this is one of the better Switch games for sure. Probably one of my top five, or at least top 10. And I think go check it out. Like, even if you don't think you're into those kind of games, I think it's definitely worth the play. Very puzzle heavy, very exploration heavy, and the way they create those environments is really fun and engaging. So I really like that game.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm playing, man.
Cool, dude.
Those freaking games. Trev, let's dive into Console Wars, the ninth generation. This is where Trev and I break down the latest news from Xbox, PlayStation within 5 minutes. And that is all. We are the Nintendo show, so they only get 5 minutes from us. This is the question that I have for you, Trev. With Halo Master Chief Collection going to be 120 frames per second, do you think Xbox's most exciting games could be prior generation games being upgraded, considering they have no first party games? You, my friend, are a future Xbox, hopefully still Xbox owner.
Pre-orders are still intact, so yes,
still there.
It's still there. I checked them yesterday because I was worried, but yeah, still there. Yeah, and you know what, I think that is probably the thing that I'm most excited about, is being able to play a lot of these games that are even older, up-res, higher frame rates. Like, I've been watching a lot of Digital Foundry stuff about a lot of these old games that were struggling to sometimes hit 30 frames per second, that they're able to solidly hit 60 and still run at 4K. So yeah, I'm excited. I am disappointed that there isn't, like, the big launch title. Like, the fact that there isn't a Halo or, like, a new game is kind of disappointing and sad, but games are going to come. Like, there's so many games that are in my backlog that I do own on Xbox that I haven't been able to get through, and being able to then have this as an excuse to play those old games that I haven't been able to finish and play them in the best state, or have the best experience I can possibly have with them, is going to be cool. So I am excited about that part of it, but yeah, that's essentially what, for Xbox anyways, that's kind of what they have going, and that's really what they've been pushing, is the fact that there's a lot of games, they're old games, a lot of games, but they play the best that you know, it's going to be the best experience that you can have with those old games. So yeah,
Xbox is in a weird space where I'm like, yeah, maybe that's the most exciting part right now. I mean, obviously, it will be nice to see the third party stuff. See, you know, we got 2077 here, and like Cyberpunk 2077, like,
yes,
a couple weeks. So, dude, it's crazy to me that we are like less than a month away. Dude, we're like a week away.
No, we're like coming up on a week and a half. We're like a week and 2 days. I think we're 16 days out from new consoles, or at least the new Xbox, and then add two more for the PS5. So, yeah, they're right there. And it is crazy.
Yeah, they're right there.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, too, like, the other part that's slightly disappointing, Dev, is that the, for instance, Cyberpunk, right? So Cyberpunk's coming out. I can buy it for the Xbox Series X, which I'm going to, and I'm going to play it. But the downside is, it is not the X version. They don't have that ready. It's not ready till next year. So the PS5 and the Series X versions are not ready. They're not going to be released. CD Projekt Red said they won't be available till next year. So you could buy it, and you'll play more like the backwards compatible version of it. If it has unlocked frame rates, it'll play better. It'll get a smoother frame rate and stuff like that. But it's not like the enhanced version with ray tracing and all these other things. So I mean, like, that part of it is kind of sad too. It's like, you're not getting, like, even if I get it, I'm not going to be able to play the best version, so I'm probably not going to buy it, and I'll wait until next year when it's actually ready.
That's what I was thinking, because you don't want to do it like without getting the good version, especially if you got your Series X already. That's so weird, man. That sucks.
Isn't that weird?
I didn't even know that. That blows. Yeah, that sucks. So I wonder, so Assassin's Creed,
that one is like now, the PS5 and Xbox Series X enhancements.
Yeah.
So you will be getting like the next gen version. So that one is one I'm probably going to be like the launch title that I play with. Then also Call of Duty will, the next version as well. So.
Okay. Well, two games, man. Two games. Yeah. Two beautiful games.
Honestly, what I'm excited about is playing Monster Hunter. I want to play some Monster Hunter because I have like my PC and my Xbox save, and they are not compatible with each other. And I want to play with my kids, and I'm excited to really dive into some Monster Hunter world with them. Just silky smooth frames, you know what I mean?
Dude, yeah, and the 120 frames, I'm interested to see how that looks on a Halo game. I'm wondering, like, because I'm not even used to the 60 frames. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm back hanging out in the 30. When I see some of those games at 60, I'm like, whoa.
Like, this feels wrong. this isn't working.
It kind of does. Yeah, it kind of does in some way. I'm like, what?
Well, this is to remind you, too, the 120 frames, that's really cool, but it's not. You have to have a TV that is compatible with that.
That's it. That's a good point.
There only are a few TVs out there that are actually compatible. So, I mean, like, there's so many, like, roadblocks along the way.
Levels here.
Like, I have a 4K 144 hertz monitor. So, I'm like, dude, I should be rock solid, right? Oh, no, it's not HDMI 2.1. It's 2.0. So, my, amazing monitor that should be able to handle this won't be able to, which is disappointing.
What a joke, dude.
Max, I can potentially get a 60 frames, which, I mean, I guess I'm happy with, but I'm like, I don't want to upgrade a TV as well, so no thank you.
Trev, I'm feeling the PC jitters.
I know, right?
It's getting too PC. There's too many levels to this. Watch out.
It's too complex now, man. It used to be you just plug the box in and you play.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
It's changed.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Screw that crap. Ugh. Yikes. Okay. Well, that's over. Get out of here, Xbox.
Jeez.
Dirty dog.
Dirty. Let's go back to something where you can only play 1080p, 30 frames.
720p. Mostly you're going to get 980.
Yep.
Fan questions. Cartman asks, after seeing the reviews and the impressions of Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, what do you guys think of the game? Will you pick it up? So the reviews that came out, Metacritic, we're probably hanging in the 70s now. Overall, what do you think? From the impressions that you've seen from other people, are you... I've heard from the grapevine you canceled your pre-order.
Yeah, huh? The grapevine told you right, Dev, which the grapevine is me. Yeah. Yes, I canceled. this thing is awesome. Like, it is such a cool idea and so Nintendo, but it's so expensive. And if you want to play multiple people, it's even more expensive. And not to mention, too, Devin, like, this thing is so cool and it's so neat, but each time I play it, I have to set up a track. I have to drive the track and plan it all out. I have to, like, it's like this big event. Like, I'm like, I just don't see myself actually using it very often because of all the prep and then all the cleanup after it. Like, I just, it seems like too much work. I want to just sit down and play a game real quick. I think this is super cool. So I watched a bunch of stuff on YouTube and different websites and channels and people giving it a go. And it is really cool that, like, the way that, because you are so low to the ground and where the camera is and whatnot, you feel like you're going fast when you're playing the game. The cart looks like it's going, like, so slow, but because of whatever, like, the camera just makes it look like you're going faster than you really are. The fact that there are different CC levels, Devin, like, and the cart actually is slower on the 50cc compared to the 150, and then when you get a mushroom boost, like, you actually, the cart picks up speed and actually moves up forward. Like, it is such a cute, cool idea. I don't know if I want to see my house down at that level, because then it'll probably be like, shoot, I gotta clean more. I don't know, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, dude, I think it's really cool. But you're right, dude, building tracks was a thing I did not think about. Like, when I saw it, I thought, yeah, that's awesome, dude, you get to build it. But then you don't think of how long that process is. Like, and you have to be, you know, creative every time, get objects from your house to, like, create boundaries and barriers and all kinds of stuff. Like, it's cool if you're into that or you've had the time for that. I can barely play, dude, a 20-minute game that's, like, in and out. Me getting out my freaking, you know, cart and going all ham on this thing is going to be really difficult for me to do. So that, you know, that kind of stuff is, it's something you just don't think about. I think the game is cool, and I honestly think it's really interesting in what they did and with the card and the speed, like you said. It's just really amazing. It's just a lot of money, and I honestly don't want to get tricked again into something that I'm not going to use, and I just keep doing it. You know, I'm like, it's getting to the point that I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I have Ring Fit Adventure, I barely play it. I have freaking, you know, I got the SNES Mini, barely play it. You know, I have all these things that I bought from Nintendo that I thought, yeah, I'm going to go all in on this. And then it just never happened. And I feel like, you know, if I got Labo, it'd be the same thing. If I got this, it might be the same thing, that I'm playing this for a little bit and then I'm enjoying it enough. But, you know, I have a Mario Kart 8 game that will work for now. It's something that I can play. And it, for me, it's about the game more than the experience on this, for this game specifically. Maybe if I had kids, maybe if my kid was a little bit older, he would be into this kind of scene and we could do it. But right now Fox isn't, so it just is what it is. And yeah, man, I don't know.
Yeah. I think, like, if I were a kid and I had more time, I think I really would be super stoked about this. But the thing is too, is like, the complexity of the levels, you can't get that complex with when you're getting, like, creating the levels and things like that. It seems like it's very limited. You have to use all four of the little rings or whatever. And not to mention, they're like, hey, you should put some weights on the ends of each one of these in case you run into them and screw up the whole thing. You know, I'm just like, man, I don't have time to set all that up. Not to mention, like, in a lot of the streams where people were playing this, it seems like the connectivity issues are there as well, like, where all of a sudden you get, like, really jittery or it disconnects momentarily. And I think a lot of that is because the internals, the antennas and whatnot inside the Switch are crap, to be honest. And I think they went really cheap there. So when you have things like this, you either have to be really close to it or, like, following your card around or whatnot in order to achieve, like, good connection. And even when you have that good connection, it still seems a little wonky. So I think, you know, I'm really excited for people that are excited about it. Let's say that. And I'm excited to watch some videos of people being creative, creating some cool maps, worlds, things like that. But, like, think about it. Like, you play one track and it's like, okay, I did that, like, 10 times. I'm bored out of my mind because I've done the same track over and over. In order to play something new, you have to go then and move everything around and try to reset up another track. And I'm just like, that, I'd rather just play, like, a really good Mario Kart with, like, a level that can do more than just, like, a couple circles and has more going on. So, and I don't have to set it up. So
I to be honest, it's Yeah, the connectivity looks a lot like our stream right now. Or like, actually, it looks like 2020, where everything was just jittery. I wonder why that, like, reviewers don't really mention it. And there was some that I saw, IGN and others. They don't really mention Game Explain. They didn't mention the jitteriness. But then I look at it and I'm like, there seems to be frames missing or something off. And I'm like, maybe people are just used to this. They're just so used to the Zoom calls that, you know,
it's the world we live in. Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, there are some weird, I mean, yeah, Nintendo's ideas on Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and things like that. Man, the Switch is horrible in some ways on that. So overall, I dig it. I'm down for everyone to like it. It's just not in my life right now. It's just not for me right now. Maybe as a child, like Trev said, yeah, maybe. Bando asks, after a year of podcasting, we're like 1 week away, man, from Nintendo, how would you guys describe this year for Nintendo, and how would you improve it? How would you improve Nintendo's year, 2020? What do you think of Nintendo?
I feel like it's a loaded question, man. Like that, the one word, nuts. Nuts. It's nuts. They're crazy, dude. Like, they're insane. Nintendo is a crazy company that, I mean, like, the fact that they release a remote control car that streams to your Switch and you're running around your apartment or your house or whatever it is, like, that's just crazy. And not to mention, they're selling you cardboard. They're selling you all these just weird things. The other thing I'd say crazy or nuts is because of exclusivities on their big games and things like that. Putting them out there for a limited amount of time and not really telling us what the plan is, I think is weird. I think this year has been weird with COVID, where I feel like we're not getting all the information that we potentially could from them. I feel like maybe they're scrambling a little bit. That being said, I still think, you know, joyous would be another word, because their properties, their types of games, things like that are just so fun and charming. And just feel so good, like good as in like happy and very family friendly. I don't know. I love it. So I think there's, you know, mixed bag of emotions with Nintendo this year. But I don't know. What are your thoughts, my dude?
Yeah, I think I would say this year I would describe it as off their game. I feel like they were off their game when it came to directs. I think they were off their game when they just were trying to tell us or not tell us anything for a year. I mean, we did not get a major direct for a year. We started a podcast in a year where there was no major direct until like a month ago. And so my thing is overall, I feel like they just need to give more, be a little more, not so, I don't know, behind the mask, like shady.
Yeah,
they just need to
more
be
more transparent,
like more front facing. Yeah. Front facing, less like more transparent. It's really, that's what bugs me the most this year about Nintendo. But overall, like, my experience with the Switch this year has been just fine. Like, there's plenty of fun games that I've enjoyed, even old games, you know, I've enjoyed. It's not my favorite year of Nintendo, but I think it does. It gives me a lot of hope for next year, though. I feel like next year there's probably a lot of eggs in one basket, and we'll see a lot from Nintendo. I think maybe they thought they could take more of a break this year. And I, you know, COVID obviously, but I'm like, when you're seeing what Xbox and PlayStation are doing this year, it's not like they're doing that horrible. You know, it's not like they're that off their game.
Right.
PlayStation did great with exclusives, I think, this year.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you're comparing with Xbox, you're like,
night and day difference.
So, so I think over and all, it's fine. I think it's a fine year. Overall, it's been a weird time going through it this year, but I think next year will be exciting. I love Nintendo. I mean, overall, I'm like you said, joy is definitely right. Just seeing these weird, crazy things they do is always brings me some kind of, you know, happiness or confusion, and it's been a lot of fun.
Sometimes a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's mixed emotions for sure. Trev, last question: what game from this generation would you consider playing 50 years from now? What's the game this generation that you think is timeless?
That's going to be Breath of the Wild for sure for me. Like, I think that game is so solid. It's amazing. I totally see myself at the age, what is this, 50? I would be 80 some odd years old, bro. And I really think I would enjoy that game. So that's one. The other one I'd probably say, don't know, probably some Fire Emblem. Like, three houses. That just seems like good time no matter when.
Yeah. For me, I think I would say Hollow Knight really impressed me this generation. And I think I could play that 50 years from now. I think it would be timeless enough. And yeah, I'm trying to think if there's another generational game. I mean, obviously Zelda would be one for me. But yeah, from Nintendo itself, have I picked up a timeless one other than Zelda? No, I think right now that's going to me is just Hollow Knight. I think Shovel Knight, but I don't know if that's quite this generation. Oh, it was, I guess.
In it some was way. Kind of like a mid generation.
Tweener.
Yeah.
Yeah, mid generation.
On everything.
Anyways, I think a lot of indie games for me, there's a lot of standouts that I think would be really good. Like Ori, I feel like is a game that I could play over and over and is timeless. So yeah, those indies, baby, they're doing great. They're doing great. Let's do our final recommendations where we get into something that's video game or otherwise that we want to share to the world, something positive, something that we really have enjoyed this week or something we've been thinking about. So Trev, what's your final recommendation, man? What do you got? Yes,
my recommendation is we have, if you're here in the U.S., in the United States, we got an election coming up, time to vote. Get out there, no matter who you're voting for, just do your civic duty, get out there, voice your opinion. And, you know, like, I feel like far too often, like in the past for myself, I've been too so in the mindset of like, no matter what, who I vote for, it doesn't really matter. I'm just one person in a state that votes another direction than I do. And no matter what, like, get out there and voice like that. The fact that we live in a country that where we can voice our opinion and cast our ballot, our vote, whatever it is, get out there and vote no matter what. Like, don't tell yourself your vote doesn't count, because it does matter. And to be a part, to have what we have here in the United States is awesome. And to, I don't know, I would take advantage of that. Don't just sit idly by. I've done that for too many years. Yeah. And get out there and cast your ballot.
Yeah, I dig it. I totally agree. I've been, I feel like, I think I've voted every time that I could. But yeah, I know a lot of people that just feel like it doesn't matter. And I, you know, for me, same, you know, I'm in a similar situation where, yeah, it does feel like it doesn't matter, but you can have influence in even those smaller things, those smaller elections for Congress and so forth that can make some changes.
Yep.
So definitely go out and vote. Totally. You will make some changes, especially if you, if there's enough of these people where they feel like they can't make a change, I guarantee you that you will make a change if you go out and vote. My recommendations are similar, political. Feel like in the U.S. if you're here, I feel like we need to remember that we are Americans, and that's what we have in common. I feel like they've got this point where it's like, hey, you're crazy. No, you're crazy. Left and right, super split, and the news is only like firing it up, and everyone's just only listening to the news and all the craziness. Remember that you work with people that are both left and right, people that have totally different perspectives than you, religious and otherwise, and you can totally be fine, and you totally are. You have complete normal conversations, and you're total civil and kind and sweet to those people. So please do the same when like politics are involved. It's okay. Like, it's all right. We're all shooting for the same goal. Both left and right are trying to, and even voters that are in between, which are, I think, a lot of people that are not just complete left or complete right. They have different ideas and they are mixed. All of those people, you know, you guys, there's a lot of us and we're all Americans and we all have one mind and one goal here, which is to be better and improve. And both sides are searching for that way to improve this country. And for some, it is different, but we're all searching for the idea to get there, to be in a better place than we are now. So with that in mind, go out there, be civil, be kind. Hopefully when all this ends, It'll all be chill like normal. It'll all be what it is. This stuff just gets so fired up and we need to chill out. And yeah.
Devin. Politics. Yes. I like that so much. Like, no matter what, like, come on, we're all human beings. We're all, you know, like, we all are searching for happiness, for success, for all these things. But like, everybody has different ideas, different thoughts. Like, respect one another, share love, things like that, and not. I mean, like, go after each other so hard, because that's how it is right now, man. Good recommendation, Dev. Thank you.
Guys, that's it. And girls, that's the it. We're done. The Nintendo show, it's over. Episode 51 is in the bag. So let's do some plugs. Visit our website at nintendoshow.com. Follow us on Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, and go to the Nintendo show to do all that good stuff. Like us on iTunes or any podcast service of your choice. Rate us, comment. Again, if you want to be part of the show, make it happen. From me and Trev at the Nintendo show, we appreciate you. Enjoy yourselves. Have a great week. We will see you next week.